Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
A question I never wanted to answer, but I'm going to have to answer it momentarily. But first, caller number 7, 216-474-0092. You're going to win a chance, or you have your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to see the Cleveland Monsters and the North Division semifinals this Friday at 7 p.m. against Laval Raquette. Plus, the first 5,000 fans through the door get a rally towel courtesy of True North Convenience Stores. Don't miss the action. Get your tickets now at clevelandmonsters.com/playoffs. It's all from the Cleveland Monsters in Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Again, clevelandmonsters.com/playoffs. Be caller number 7, 216-474-0092. Your chance to go see your Cleveland Monsters take on Laval Raquette. I will tell you this. Like, I was trying to think of different ways I could collect on the $100,000 for my son. Could I make him a personal servant of somebody within the Browns for, like, the next 2 years? Or, like, you are now, like, the Browns' personal bitch boy. Anything that they want you to do, you have to do it. I don't care what it is. If you need to go put gas in Myles Garrett's car, if you need to go pick up somebody's family at the airport, the other airport, a different airport, not just over there, very close, I don't care what it would be. If they want you to mow the grass out back with scissors, you're going to do it. If JW wants a shoe shine, you're going to do it. Anything I can think of over the course of 2 years, you are going to do it. If they want you to wash dishes by hand, you're going to do it.
Sounds like a great premise for a show.
Yeah. And that was the premise of Mr. Belvedere, was it? No, he didn't make any prank calls. Cost $100,000.
That's the pilot, so here's the deal. Yeah.
I don't think Mr. Belvedere did that. Mary Kay Cabot at 8:22. Brian Geltzeiler going to join us at 9:01. We'll talk Cavs with him. Speaking of the Cavs, so this is a question Lyme and I have not really wanted to answer because, well, you're going to get smoked online for it for just talking about it. Even though, you know, I said yesterday, if you really think this, just admit you haven't watched the Cavs, and I had plenty of blowback. Darius Garland was out the last two games of the Heat series, and this was after he had things to say about Tyler Hero. Well, Kyle Anderson, we have this clip of Kyle Anderson. This is after game 4, where he was asked about the Cavaliers without Darius Garland. And this is what the Miami Heat's Kyle Anderson, not John Anderson or Ryan Anderson or Hans Christian Andersen. This is what Kyle Anderson had to say about the Cavs' current situation without Darius Garland.
If you want my honest answer, and I don't mean to throw shots at anybody or even, you know, entertain what was going on between them, but I think they looked like a better team without Garland on the floor. Now, I don't know the numbers or anything, but I think it played more into their favor once Garland wasn't on the floor for them. They were able to dictate the tempo and, you know, get more stops on defense, and it was hard for us to score, and, you know, they had more guys out there on defense. So I think once we came across that, it got kind of tough for us.
So you and I don't know how long this conversation is going to go because you and I agree with each other on this. I at least I think we do, that this team is better with Darius Garland, that there's not been nearly enough of a sample size of Ty Jerome to try to give the opinion in honest certainty that this team is better with Ty Jerome. Yes, Ty Jerome is 6'5", but one guy has started all but 4 games in his career. The other one has started 10. Out of 279 possibilities there, he has started 10 of them. Now, Ty Jerome, hate to say this, but it's probably true, will make a fine guard for another team if he doesn't take a huge hometown discount this next year. Because I can't dig into his pockets and say, oh, yeah, he's definitely going to stay after this year, after he's putting up the numbers that he did against the Miami Heat. I also don't think the Miami Heat are the honest gauge for how great Ty Jerome can be with this basketball team, because they were just going through the motions those two games down in Miami.
Yeah, Jerome has had an incredible year, clearly the best year he's had in the NBA. He's been healthy and he's been consistent. And in his role of being that guy to come off the bench to where there's really not much of a drop-off, if any, on a given night from Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland, he has been sensational all year in that role. Darius has been really good in his role. He was having a career year up until, you know, the final 2 months of the year where he still was doing other things. He just wasn't shooting the ball as well. He regressed a bit, but then kind of found his shot in the last few games and in the first two games of the playoffs. I think it's silly to sit there and make declarations on any of this based on the Miami Heat. Like, the Cavs were great. They look like the best team in basketball. They look like the team that did have the three winning streaks, that had the best record in the league for most of the year until OKC took that over. I'm not making any kind of changes right now in the lap. That includes, by the way, Max Strus. I mean, Max Strus has been sensational up until the final game of the series. I'm keeping him as a starter. And I remember I was trying to drive a conversation to get DeAndre Hunter in there. I'm good with Max Strus. Like, I'm not changing anything right now based on individual numbers or even some team numbers in a rout of the Miami Heat. I think that's silly.
Thank you for covering for my sneezes. I think you're right wholeheartedly. When he says it, though, I know we have to address it, because once an NBA player gives it life, all right, I have to address it again. But I want to nip it in the bud. I think that if anybody, and I also want to go through puberty here live on the air, if you watch the Cavs this entire year, because you might have heard last year about Darius Garland. You might have heard the year before about Darius Garland. It's been a little bit of a mixed bag with Darius. I'll admit it. And yeah, there's a concern that I have, that I think everybody has, about a smaller backcourt. And I think it might rear its ugly head. I'm not as confident against Boston as you are, because I don't want to get mad if they go to Boston and lose. I don't want to start saying irresponsible things on the air. I know, now I don't want to do it. I don't want to just say it out of anger. I don't want to get irresponsible because I'm angry. Because I think they've had a great season. I just don't know if it's great enough to get over the Boston Celtics right now, even though it's been a great year.
We'll see. But this setup has worked for everybody involved.
But you know what this does? If they play against Indiana, they're going to play against Indiana. Say they get a 5-game series out of Indiana, they win the series, or a 6-game series. If they go to Boston, that conversation about Darius Garland, because he has problems against the Boston Celtics, that becomes a bigger issue. This thing that we want to avoid now, this is why I'm actually glad Kyle Anderson said it, because now I have to put something on the record other than you guys just are talk show radio hosts and you guys just want to put something negative into the atmosphere. No, Kyle Anderson said it. So now I have to address it. But I'm on the record, and I think you're on the record here. They are not better without Darius Garland.
Yeah.
They are not better with Ty Jerome instead of Darius Garland, because the Miami Heat are not a litmus test for what this team is about to deal with in the postseason.
Yeah, I agree. And the reality is, if this team is truly going to maximize what they can do, their trajectory, and be the team that we saw all season, almost all season in the regular season, it's Darius at his best. If Darius is at his best in that Boston series, they are going to win the Boston series. They have a chance, and they can pull it off. If he plays terrible in that series, they'll be scrambling a little bit. I imagine you'll see a little more of Ty Jerome, but, you know, Ty Jerome's going to have, if Holiday is healthy, he's going to have Holiday on him. He's going to have Derek White on him. He's going to have Jaylen Brown in match, you know, in switches on him. Like, that's all. We're skipping ahead, obviously, because we have the Pacers next. But
I don't play for the Cavs. I can't look ahead.
Yeah,
so
there's nobody in that Cavs building that is uncomfortable with Darius Garland in the starting lineup. He was an all-NBA player for most of the year. He only really fell out of it in the last month and a half. So, look, I have no problem talking about anything. I do get irritated when people get mad that we're having any kind of conversations about a basketball team. Like, have every conversation you want.
I'll admit, have it. It's hard to do typical conversation talk on the air about the Cavs because they've been perfect this year.
Yeah.
You can't go against perfect. You can only talk about lauding how great perfect is. Because if I was with you at a bar, hey, how about the Cavs? Yeah, how about the Cavs? And then we sit there and we watch TV because the Cavs are that great. I think it naturally leads to you want to be negative. But when a guy says something like this, okay, then I'm going to get hostile and I'm going to get defensive of it because I know in my heart I'm right. I've watched the Cavs all year. I've watched the Cavs since LeBron's been gone. I know what Darius Garland has had to fit into. And what Darius Garland has had to fit into is a bunch of different categories that I don't know if a lot of guys could do it, especially at his size. And he has struggled at times. Yes, he has struggled at times to do that. But I think he's been able to fulfill that role. And I think we're finally getting him now that he's relatively healthy. I know he's out the last couple of games with a toe. I think he's been able to blossom into the type of player, along with Donovan Mitchell, to be alongside of Donovan Mitchell, to be the helper, to be the type of team that will have its best chance to get over the hump against the Boston Celtics. I worry about what Boston can do to him. I worry that I'm going to be annoyed coming up in that series about what people may say, because I think it's going to be a very difficult series. I'm glad, though, that DeAndre Hunter was traded for, because I think that he can be a very special piece to this basketball team in helping them get over the Boston Celtics. But damn it, I cannot stand this conversation every time we are separated from the play of Darius Garland, where this team is better without Darius Garland. They've never been better without Darius Garland during his time here. It's never been true. You've based it on the regular season, not you, but they've based it on the regular season and against the Miami Heat, a team that was not trying in the postseason.
Well, I've had tough questions after the last few playoff losses. the last 2 years about Darius. And Darius, he showed improvement. I think he evolved. He's become a much more confident player. Even on off nights where he's not shooting the ball well, he's still doing a bunch of good things. So I think he has taken a step forward. And I think that type of evolution in his game is going to be important because guys are going to have off nights. He does battle on defense. I have kind of maintained that I think him trying to fight so hard on defense, because there are those limitations, I wonder if it's taken a bite out of his offense because teams like Boston...
You're talking about Darius?
Yeah, okay. Teams like Boston put him through the ringer on defense. And even though he does his best to hold his own, I think it kind of exhausts him to a level where he does kind of struggle at times. But I will say this year, he's been one of the most clutch players in the NBA. That guy in the final 2 minutes has been as good as
he's
almost
been
anybody.
Great. And I don't want to mess with that right now. And I also know that there is a tremendous difference in coming in off the bench, being the type of guy who could be a microwave for you like Ty Jerome can, going from 19 minutes a night or 18 minutes a night to over 30 minutes a night. There's a tremendous difference in starting in this league. And I think it's very irresponsible for guys like you and me, if we were to champion such an issue, because I know it's wrong. But right now, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, the venerable Mary Kay Cabot, who joins us this morning. Mary Kay, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Is Shedeur Sanders the leader in the clubhouse for QB1?
No, he's not. Not at this point. He has to claw his way back up, I would think, probably from the back or near the back of the depth chart. No, not yet.
How crazy is it that he leads the league in rookie jersey sales right now, considering he's a fifth-round pick? I know he has his own fan base. I just didn't think he was – I didn't realize he was this popular. And do you think that has any bearing with the Cleveland Browns franchise as him staying on this roster, being a part of this organization for 2025?
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to look at this as a football decision. I think they're going to bring these guys in here, let them battle it out, and let the best man win. And I don't think popularity is going to factor into their decision on who starts week one. I just don't think they can operate that way. I don't think they will operate that way.
Well, we all agree it shouldn't operate that way. The question is, when there are people, you know, around the NFL who believe the owner actually came in and made the pick, then it stands to reason they would think they might be swayed by popularity, especially in a season when, you know, Mary Kay, let's be honest, I can't find a lot of odds makers that think the Browns are going to be very good.
Well, that's true. But first of all, do you guys believe that the owner swooped in and made this pick? Because I just don't believe it. That narrative persists no matter what anybody tries to say about the way that Jimmy does things. Now, I am not denying that back in 2014, when Ray Farmer was the GM, and very inexperienced at his job, that Jimmy suggested Johnny Manziel. But that doesn't happen in this new regime. He has total respect for Andrew Berry, Paul DePodesta, Kevin Stefanski, and he's not going to sit there and make decisions like this. So I'm just not buying that he was the one that decided to draft Shador.
Lima, what's your answer to that?
Well, I think it is interesting because you're Mary Kay is essentially saying that this has evolved, that the organization, the power structure, the way of doing things has evolved to the point where they can be relied upon. Which, if that is the case, that does seem like a huge step forward, right?
Let me tell you this, because you still didn't give me an answer. I will say, I can't say for certain that he stepped in, but I can say for certain, I really don't care, because I don't think he could have done worse in the fifth round. I'm dead serious. I don't think he could have done worse in the fifth round than anything we've seen in recent history over the last 5 years. Cam Mitchell's a nice enough player. Miles Harden's a nice young man. Juwan Briggs is a nice young man. But other than that, I mean, you know, what the hell? Am I missing out on another Dawson Deaton? Am I missing out on another Richard LeCount? Am I missing out on poor Nick Harris couldn't stay healthy? Am I missing out on another Harrison Bryant? It's like, okay, he's a quarterback. You need a quarterback. You're using 2 first-round picks next year probably to find that quarterback. What the hell? This guy finished in the fifth round or fell to the fifth round. If Jimmy wanted to walk, I don't want it to set a precedent, but if Jimmy made a call and decided to say, yeah, go ahead and take the quarterback, fine, to hell
Mary,
with it. I don't
Mary
care.
Kay, what interests me is, and I promise you'll be able to get a statement in here at some point, my curiosity is they said the value was too much to pass up at 5. But on their calculator, why wasn't that the case at 4 or 3? When did it finally meet that? They certainly didn't trade up to go get Shador. So I'm curious how that was the sweet spot.
Well, when you look at your board and you weigh everything that you can possibly get there, especially at 166 and 192 against taking a flyer on a quarterback that was believed by many to be the number 2 quarterback in the draft, it makes total sense to go take a flyer on this. Absolutely 100%. And I had said so many times leading up to the draft that they should take 2 bites of the apple at quarterback, that they should draft 2 quarterbacks. You guys have heard me say that many times. On this show, I said 2 running backs as well. So I was 100% fine with them doing this, even though it does bring an element of drama that you have to deal with. But if this team can't deal with quarterback drama by now, I don't know who can.
So is Joe Flacco the starter as of right now?
No, I don't think so. And I just wrote a column about this the other day. Who has the early edge? And I know you're busy, and I know you don't have a lot of time to read.
Well, the reason I asked you about getting over the other 3 quarterbacks, because I read you just yesterday, so I didn't see this in this. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I wrote a column 2 days ago saying, Shador Sanders, can he beat out the other 3 quarterbacks, and who has the early edge is the title of the column. And in that column, the conclusion that I draw is the same one that I mentioned to you guys, that if the season started tomorrow, right now, in this moment, it still would be Kenny Pickett. And that can change as time goes along. But if you look at how they operated this off
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get 1 line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Season. There were 2 quarterbacks that they targeted early on in their own cycles of acquisition, and that was Kenny Pickett and then Dillon Gabriel. They went out and they targeted Dillon Gabriel, and even when they had a chance to draft some other quarterbacks in the third round, they went for Dillon over Shador, and some other guys. So I think you also have to look at him as someone that they really, really like to run Kevin Stefanski's offense. So, no, I would not put Joe in the lead at this moment.
Mary Kay, I love the perspective coming in here as she does each and every week. So of the three younger quarterbacks, the three not named Joe Flacco, who do you think has the highest trajectory, the highest ceiling? Who's got the most talent?
That's a great question. I don't know that I can 100% answer that at this moment. It would seem that that is Shador, but for some reason they liked Dillon Gabriel better, and I don't know if it will play out that way, but they liked him better. And they also liked Kenny Pickett as someone that they thought perhaps, possibly, maybe could just be the next one of those guys, those former first-round picks who surprises everyone in their second, third, fourth chance or whatever.
Mary Kay, I really, really want to know this when it comes
Holy
to Shador.
Wow.
Because in Boulder and throughout all the travels of Shador Sanders, they have had the production team associated with the family following his every move. There's been a boatload of content already since draft night, both good and bad. They'll put out anything and churn out that content. You're a content creator, Mary Kay, so I'm sure you appreciate that. How will the Browns feel about that? Will there be unfettered 24/7 access granted to the Sanders production company?
Well, no. I mean, you're not going to do that. You only do that if Hard Knocks comes to town or something like that. You're not going to have someone in your building all the time filming what Shador is doing. So, no. I mean, there will be more media and content of Shador than there is of other quarterbacks, because that's what those guys are about. That's what his family is about. But they're not going to have unfettered access. There's no way. He's going to have to come in here and be treated like not like everyone else, because once again, they do things differently. It's the Sanders family. But he's going to have to come in here and he's going to have to earn this job. If he's going to end up starting games for the Browns this season, he's going to have to climb up that depth chart and he's going to have to earn it. And right now, as I wrote in my column, he's playing from behind. He's got a lot of work to do.
Do you have any more Shador Sanders questions, Anthony? Okay,
what an answer, Mary Kay.
Yeah, that was a strong answer, but I wanted to make sure you got them all out of our system, both of our systems, before we moved on. Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the show. Elijah Moore going to the Buffalo Bills. We brought in Deontay Johnson, who's been on three teams in the last year. Mary Kay, what are we going to do with the wide receiver spot here? Because we didn't make any picks, and now we're running out of names, and Deontay Johnson's not a name that anybody can count on.
Well, first of all, they have to make sure that the things that caused Deontay Johnson to be on three different teams last year, that those things can't happen here, or he's not going to be on this team either. He's got to come in, and he's got to toe the line, and he's got to do things the way that the Browns want him to do them. And hopefully for them and for him, that he's learned from the things that have gone on last year. Because if he doesn't, he's going to run out of chances. Now, they must feel like they can get a different version of Deontay Johnson than the one that was cut by a few teams and traded last year. So if they can get that version of him, he was a 2021 Pro Bowler. He's got immense talent, and he can score the football, and they need people that can do that. So that's number one, is getting that version out of him. But I still think they have to add to the receiver room to the extent that they can. I would still be looking for trade opportunities. I would be looking for free agents. But the thing to remember here is they really are going back to more of the traditional West Coast Kevin Stefanski style of offense, where they play more 12 personnel, two tight end sets, more 13 personnel, three tight end sets. So you don't need as many top-notch receivers necessarily as you would with what they were trying to do last year in that more spready type of an offense. So that's why they went out and they got Harold Fannin. They've got David Njoku, Jerry Jeudy, and now again they added Deontay Johnson, but I still think they need more receivers.
Nick Chubb, will he be a Cleveland Brown in 2025?
Well, this is going to depend on what happens with Jerome Ford. Jerome Ford is heading into the final season of his contract. He makes $3 point something million this year. If someone, if another team needs Jerome Ford and is willing to make the Browns an offer that they can't refuse, and somehow Jerome Ford ends up somewhere else, then I think it opens up the door for Nick Chubb to return. If Jerome Ford still remains on this football team, then I think it makes it hard to add Nick Chubb again, because you don't really want to put him on this football team as your fourth running back. Would anybody want that? Would Nick Chubb want that? I mean, the way that he looks, jumping over hurdles and squatting at his high school where he's training, I think he can offer some team a really good version of himself this year. And I think he deserves better than being the fourth running back on a team. If they can bump him up to three, then you bring him in at that point.
Could he be unsigned as we start the season? Could this be a Kareem Hunt situation?
Possibly. Yes, that could possibly happen. And that could be the best thing that happens to him, because as Kareem Hunt has discovered over the past several years, that you can sometimes land a starting job that way. And sometimes you can even win a Super Bowl that way. So, yes, I think that might be one of the best things that could happen to Nick, is if someone dials him up if a starter goes down and he finds himself with a nice starting job.
Mary Kay, we found out that Mason Graham, also a victim of one of those many pranks that were made on the draft day, throughout the draft weekend. What did you make of that situation for Mason Graham and for others like Shedeur Sanders?
Well, I think the NFL needs to devise a new plan and get a handle on it, because now these young people are finding that they can go viral this way, and they're having a grand old time with this. I think it's nasty. I think it's mean. I don't think that's a get-off-your-lawn type of viewpoint from me. I hope it's not coming off like that. I just think this is the biggest weekend of these guys' lives. I think it's horrible to have that kind of fun at their expense. And I think the NFL needs some kind of a new plan. And with the technology that we have available today, I should think that you would be able to get a hold of a player without all these prank calls going on. They need to get a handle on it. They're investigating Mason Graham, the NFL is right now. I'm glad that they came down so hard on the Falcons and their defensive coordinator. I was trying to think yesterday, what if it was my son that did that? I honestly would be setting up some kind of a payment plan as soon as he got out of college for him to work off that $100,000. There's just no way that I would let that kid get away with not paying the bulk of that money.
I said that I would sue my own son, and then we had a data privacy lawyer call in earlier. I swear to you, Mary Kay, and he's like, well, yeah, you can sue me. You'd probably win, but good luck collecting. And I was like, doggone it, he's right.
Well, you could make sure that he pays you whatever, $200 a month or whatever.
For the rest of my life? Or for the rest of his life?
You know what? Whatever you have to do is what I would do. That was his mistake, and or at least partially his mistake. If you own half of that mistake for leaving that information available to him, then maybe you only charge him $50,000. But whatever you do, you need to hold him accountable for that situation.
Can I have my son's thumbs broken over owing me money and still claim to love him?
kids these days, just wait. I it's coming. Both of you, there are some challenging and very interesting times coming, because no matter what you try, I love it when people say, oh, that's some bad parenting. No, it's not. They have so many influences over them these days in so many ways other than their parents, that there's no way that you can control the behavior of your children at all times, especially as they get into the older grades and into college. So I don't see that as bad parenting, but now you have to do some good parenting and really hold him accountable.
Mary Kay, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week. All the best.
Sounds good.
The great Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Outstanding stuff from her. That's Mary Kay Cabot with us just moments ago. Tone Master General,
yes. How did the Sanders people, the people that bought the Sanders jersey, because they're telling us he's just going to start. Like, I think they're a little delusional right now.
No, they haven't said he's just going to start. We haven't had anybody who said they're just going to start.
We literally had three callers yesterday say they think he's going to start right away. Like, they think this is not going to be a problem. Joe Flacco's going to be set.
We were hosting the same show?
Packy, yep. Eddie and Westlake called up, said he doesn't have to worry about those other guys. He's going to start.
Did Eddie say that? Eddie said that?
And we've had a slew of social media.
I only hear him say how short Gabriel is.
Yeah, they do not.
I don't know why you need to say that Gabriel's short to support your argument.
The Sanders supporters right now are not looking at Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel or Joe Flacco as an impediment. They think the guy that was talked about to be the number two overall pick,
you are right there,
a month ago, should not have to worry about any of that.
That is the sticking point of how come this guy has been the top 10 prospect this whole time? How come he was, you know, in many mocks, the number two pick for several versions of mock drafts, and they don't think that that talent has anything. It has nothing to do with maybe the guys making mocks overvalued who he was.
So I wonder how they feel when they hear Mary Kay say he's basically in a battle for his professional life here. Like, he is behind the eight ball. He's got these other guys in front of him on the depth chart, and he's not going to be given special privileges. The Browns are not going to allow the camera crews to run roughshod over Berea. Like, I wonder how the people who bought those jerseys, to the extent that he's going to be the number one jersey salesman and he's going to have all this publicity, I wonder how they feel about what Mary Kay just said.
Well, I think anybody who has any sort of grip on reality, and this is, it's hard to say because it's a pretty unrealistic thing. This is wild, bizarre. He's got to earn the spot. I'm a little bit surprised that she's just saying Kenny Pickett. I'm more surprised she's saying Kenny Pickett's the leader.
Because nobody cares about Kenny Pickett.
No.
Nobody. We don't think he has any ceiling. He was also in a bad quarterback draft.
Well, there was no talk of him being the starting quarterback until you found out he was the guy sending the text messages.
I know that there are people who are Joe Flacco truthers, and to certain degrees, I've agreed with you to some level here. I mean, yes, he threw a lot of picks. He'll turn the ball over. I know that those things are true. But you can't deny the respect that this locker room had for him. And you certainly can't deny the amount of fans that really, really, really like Joe Flacco. If you're going to start Kenny Pickett this season, I know Kenny was the one who texted Quinshon Judkins on Friday. If you're going to start Kenny Pickett this year, you better make sure, damn sure, that he's got it. Because what's the majority of fans? What's the percentage of fans that really like Joe Flacco?
Like him as a folk hero because of what he did going to the playoffs. Nice story.
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody appreciates that. Yeah. Like, who doesn't love that?
I don't think there's many Cleveland Browns fans that go, you know, that was a fluke and there's no way that I appreciate what he did.
Okay. Even if you could think it's a fluke, appreciate what he did.
I don't want to bog.
That's what I'm saying. You definitely are always going to be appreciative of what it is. How many fans right now like him as the front runner to be the starting quarterback
Now? Yeah. I would say good 70%. Am I low or high? Get the yodeler out. Am I low or high?
I honestly have no feel for what the fans think right now. I think the fans have been given this impossible situation, a bizarre situation. You draft two quarterbacks, so you're already starting a battle between fans about who they like of either of those guys. The problem is, not many of them like Dylan Gabriel to begin with. They sure as hell don't like Kenny Pickett.
I think the other 40-year-old white guys that I talk to really want Joe Flacco to be the quarterback. I don't know
just
what
to start
teens,
the season.
I don't know what teens want. I don't know what a lot of guys in the communities that I'm not in want.
Let's call it what it is. I mean, look at this.
What about your 40-year-old black friends?
Okay, Dylan Gabriel.
I've got so many.
Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel is kind of the odd man out in a way. Not to cut him. Not saying to cut him. I'm talking about within the fan base. Dylan Gabriel's kind of the odd man out because it's like, all right, he's 5'10", he's from Oregon, he won a lot of games, who knows? You got Kenny Pickett, who played at Pittsburgh, played for the Steelers, small hands, first round, missed by the Steelers. All right, that's a lot that goes against you, right? And they can say whatever they want. The Steelers talked a lot of trash about him out the door. So that's a big thing that goes against you. Shedeur Sanders, young, exciting, has obviously sold a lot of jerseys, is in trying to impart himself the right way with the fan base so far. A lot to like about that young man. And then you have Joe Flacco, who obviously has a very nice history with this football team and with this fan base, even though it was a very short history. So you would have to say that the majority of the fans want Joe Flacco to start the season. I would also say the majority of the fans don't think he's going to finish the season. But they take him seriously. They respect him. You have to, as of right now, I think you have to start the season with Joe Flacco. If you start the season with Kenny Pickett, I'm going to be very nervous about that, because I think that the fan base out there, as soon as a guy who they didn't like and loved making fun of goes out there, and if he sucks up the room at all, he better be good, because if he sucks up the room at all, it's already started. The clock's already running against you. It just runs even faster now. So there you go. And if Shedeur Sanders starts, then, well, here's to you, folks. We'll have it out. That'll be fun. And Dylan Gabriel's a forgotten guy in so many ways. Sorry, buddy. No offense to you. Is that not a fair thing to say? I think that's a fair thing to say.
Yeah, we're on the same page there. What about what Mary Kay said about the camera crews? Because when we talked about distractions, will there be distractions? That's what people were wondering about. Did they think this is going to be some big reality show? And then, Hard Knocks gets brought up. You know, do we have any indication about who is going to be involved in the Hard Knocks?
Not yet.
I know there's eligibility standards
and stuff.
I forgot.
That was the whole division, but
if you finished in last in your division, did that matter for Hard Knocks? I thought there were new
standards. I don't know. No, first-year head coaches can't do it.
Oh, okay.
I know that every team tries to fight against it, and eventually they strong-arm a team into doing it.
I do think I think there's one of them. I don't remember if it's 5 years or 10 years, but if you've been featured already in the last couple, you can have a refusal.
We were featured
recently.
Not in the 5 years with Harden. Oh, wait, this is AFC North, so yeah.
Well, damn. But that was in season, and nobody watched it.
Well, because HBO is going to want to fight that like crazy, because they know a bunch of people are going to be watching Shorter and Sanders stuff. So, oh boy. Oh, that's going to be a hell of a morning when we get announced to be the team on Hard Knocks.
I've been watching the rehearsal right now on Max, and not as good as the original. Very interesting.
I have not watched it.
Okay.